Time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor, right betwixt Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Eric Meehan joining us here in studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, guys. How we doing?
Welcome. Good to have you on the allergy train with us.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I definitely never had allergies until I moved to Maine, and they are hitting me like a ton of bricks. It's incredible. How's that low pressure thing doing? Oh. I mean, anytime low pressure, I can sense it now. I'm 38 years old. I must be like 130 in dog years, because like every time a storm's coming, oh, I can tell, like a
right in here,
wily old New Englander. Yeah,
right, absolutely. In the eyes and the forehead,
there and the knees, boom. And there.
Oh yeah.
Thank God for booze. Yep. Oh baby,
you've become an old Mainer. Congratulations.
I that's what I said. Once we got the pickup and I had the tarp and my boots, and we went hiking in the marsh the other day.
I saw
it. Was absolutely
that.
Fabulous. By the way. Not related to anything that I'm here to talk about, but the Bangor Land Trust's Central Penjajawak Marsh is a really, really cool place to take kids. It's like a quick loop, and you get all the experience plus the ticks. We had our first tick on Nella, and that was good times.
Eric Charles managed, I saw, to avoid the mud somehow.
That was beauty. And yeah, well, yeah, mostly. Yeah, he's good. Actually, he's very limber. Mm. They can dodge and duck and dodge with the best of them.
Very nice.
It took me right back to my childhood. It was great. But so we're here today to find out what the bell beaker culture has to do with anything. The bell beaker culture. I read that and I was thinking like dong.
Me, 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 me.
Yeah.
Dong. But we'll get there. So we're talking about mead. Mead is ostensibly the oldest recorded beverage that we have that got humans loopy. God bless it.
Mm.
And as those of you who probably know just a little bit about your beverage culture, mead is made out of honey. It is honey wine. To most people, there are certain cultures that consider honey wine something a little bit different, something that's made not only with honey, but with grapes and things like that, and veer off towards the wine part of the world, whereas they consider mead made with things like, you know, beer yeasts and things like that, so more of an offshoot of the beer industry, as it were. But mead, of course, being the originator, is its own thing. And I think that trying to break it into those camps is kind of defeating the purpose. So we first started seeing there's residual samples of mead and honey wines in China around 7,000 BC. And
not this bottle here.
Not this particular bottle. Though, interesting fact, oxidization does not happen with mead, because honey is an antioxidant. So kind of cool there. You can have meads that age very, very well and do kind of cool things because of what's in them, but it doesn't oxidize like other things, which is really cool. Now, the bell beaker culture, what the heck was that? Well, the bell beaker culture, it was coined by John Abercrombie, of course. John, one of my old buddies. I used to call him Abercrombie. It's not true. He described the Western European late Neolithic, early Bronze Age that was termed the bell beaker culture by this guy. And that is where you first see mead in what is now Croatia, around 3000 BC. So, and the first mention of it in any sort of text that we have evidence of it is from the Rig Veda, which was an ancient Vedic text, later incorporated into Hinduism, and that is about 1700 BC. So it's been part of many, many cultures, the Central Asian steppes, anywhere between China and Eastern Europe, for a very, very long time. And again, because it doesn't oxidize, it was very, very hardy and good for travel. And so that's, I think, one of the big, big reasons why it caught on and stayed with us for a long time. Of course, a funny thing that it's kind of fallen off popularity-wise, and really it's only re-burgeoned with the emergence of what I guess I'll term the craft beer boom, but I'll call it more of just the craft and artisan boom in general, because mead doesn't necessarily appeal to beer drinkers, although I think a lot of the people who deal in specialty beers also find themselves dealing in meads and ciders and things like that. But they really are a distinctly different customer base from my perspective as a retailer. It's a much more, I'm not going to draw like Viking and Game of Thrones sort of stuff, but it definitely seems to be folks that are a little bit more interested in history and perhaps in sort of the fantastical aspects of this drink, because it sort of seems like alchemy more than a lot of other beverages. There is that sort of fantastic association with it, which is kind of cool. Mead itself is a very varied beverage. It can range in alcohol percentage from 8% to over 20% commercially. There's sparkling versions. There's still versions. There's a host of versions that are blended with anything from tea, berries, flowers. It can smell like all sorts of different things. The one we're going to be trying today, I think, has a lot of sort of deep floral aromatics. And, of course, smells like honey, surprisingly enough. But you do see a lot of really, really cool things. There's, again, these mead iced teas and mead lemonades. And with, I promise, the sunny hot days are coming back. They're absolutely perfect. So I would encourage those of you who are trying it out for the first time to give it a go, because a lot of people tend to go for the more alcoholic and viscous permutations. Our most popular selling mead is called Viking Blood. And it comes from Denmark, and it's all that. I mean, it's very alcoholic. It's substantial, and it's the sort of thing where if you were to drink a bottle, you'd probably regret it heavily if you could even make it that far. So I would encourage people to just try the lighter versions, you know, when there was just a sample. The wine we're trying today is from Bob Bartlett. And for those of you who haven't heard the name Bob Bartlett, I encourage you to check him out. He is kind of the godfather of the Maine wine scene. He opened his winery in 1975 in Gouldsboro. He helped write a lot of the Maine farm winery legislation. Very, very cool guy. He makes fruit wines. And he also, of course, because we're talking about it today, makes mead. He makes a dry mead and he makes a sweet mead. And the wine we're tasting today is a sweet mead. A little more viscous than his dry, but still not very, very heavy. And really, really beautiful and accessible. And how do you incorporate these things into cooking? I want to hit that really quick. Well, the thing I was hoping to do today, but I, you know, with the draft coming up on Thursday, I've got far too much stuff going on. It's unbelievable.
Got defensive backs still to study.
Well, I mean, I'm not picking number one, so I know that I'm not going to get Myles Garrett. And, you know, do I trade up to get a quarterback of the future when there are none? It's absolutely exhausting. By the way, how I can talk about wine forever, but how do you talk about draft prospects for literally months on end? And now that there's only 2 days left, it's like, I'm amazed that they have anything left to talk about. Well, Thank God there's like scandals.
And Kuiper, you know, if you look at his track record, and I enjoy him. He's fun to watch, but you look at his track record.
No one's ever right.
No.
It's tremendous.
No,
they're as wrong as the general managers themselves.
But
it's fantastic.
Boy, people watch. They can't get enough, apparently.
Well, what are the options? Like celebrity bowling tournaments? There's the basketball, but that's okay. I'm sorry, basketball.
Ouch.
I love you.
Ouch.
I love the basketball, playing it. That's another thing I have to do this weekend. I have to set up the old basketball hoop. I got to get my boy working on that. So how do we cook with mead? Well, as with wine, it's most similarly tied to wine. You use it a lot in reductions and sauces and things like that. I was going to make this really wonderful bundt cake today, but the mead itself is really just used in the glaze. And it does make wonderful glazes because of that honey element. Last year, we made a wine slush with it. So it's very accessible cooking-wise. But it's not going to give you a lot of, I don't know that I'd want to necessarily braise with it or anything like that, unless you want that sort of intense honey flavor. But it's, you know, got that floral qualities. And of course the flavored meads will give you whatever flavors you want. So I have, just a few moments. I do want to mention that this week we have a special wine tasting with Perlage Winery. That is an Italian winery. So we're going to be tasting 3 different Proseccos, including a Rosé Prosecco, which is absolutely fantastic. Pinot Grigio and a Sangiovese, the Sangiovese that we tried several weeks ago, and come and meet someone from the winery, which is also very, very cool. So that's this Friday at Bangor Wine and Cheese from 4 to 6 p.m. And then next month, our topic will be Appellations, or there is no such thing as Hardy Burgundy. It's always a fun one. We'll talk all about, you know, where wine comes from, why it comes from only there, and what makes a certain region special, and why we name protect those regions, and things like that. Thank you all for doing the cooking with me, and I hope you try out some of these recipes that we've posted on our website. And I know that some of you have had trouble clicking on them, so try again. We're working on the technical difficulties. And yeah, we'll be back next time with probably some Chablis or Burgundy, something like that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more next week, but also a big event coming up next Wednesday, right?
Oh my goodness, yes, that's next Wednesday. How the days fly by. Yes, yeah. we're also working in conjunction with the Bangor Symphony Orchestra for their Celebrating Women concert, which is going to be a fantastic concert featuring several members of Maestro Richmond's own family. So do check that out. That'll be the following Sunday, but at Bangor Wine and Cheese from 5 to 7 p.m. next Wednesday the 3rd, we will be celebrating women ourselves. We will have LuLaRoe leggings. We will have wine. We'll have all sorts of other interesting things that my my wife and my manager have set up, and it'll be brilliant. So if you're a woman or someone who loves women and wine and things and the Bangor Symphony, and yes, do come out.
There.
All right. Always 4 to 6 things. This Friday, 5 to 7 next Wednesday. Drink mead. Drink, eat, live better. I got nothing.
This is very nice.
Yeah.
Did you like this? Did you like the mead, Karen?
I did like this, and I have had a couple of other meads that I think maybe lean more towards the beer-style carbonation. So this is a different type than I've had in the past.
Yeah.
But I've liked all of them. I like that honey.
And that's the thing. It's so hard to peg down. So if you don't like mead, give it another try. Go into your local wine shop and say, hey, what interesting things do you folks have? Here's what I tend to like. Hit me.
And they'll take care of you. If they're good people, we'll like the folks at Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street, Bangor. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Cheers.